Good morning and welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Online. Under normal circumstances, we would be accustomed to gathering in our sanctuary, singing hymns and shaking hands, hugging one another, saying prayers together. But in this season of physical distancing, we're not able to do that. And so we are discovering new ways of being community together online. If you're our guest, we are especially grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today, and we ask that you might leave a comment on our YouTube channel or on our social media pages, or send us an email. You can also sign up to receive some updates from the church on our website, www.greystonechurch.com. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, we're grateful that you've chosen to be with us in worship today. As we worship, we know that things feel a little bit differently watching on TVs, computers, or handheld devices, but we do encourage you to do all of the things that you would normally do if we were gathered in our space together. When we pray, we want you to pray with us. When we sing, we want you to sing with us, and we ask that you be on this journey of worshiping God together, because we know that when two or more gather to worship God, God is there among us, around us, and within us. Today we're reading a piece of scripture from Exodus chapter 17, where we meet the Israelites between Egypt and the Promised Land. They're on a long journey and they've grown weary. They've begun to grumble and argue amongst themselves, asking the question, is God among us or not? And today we wrestle with that question. We wrestle with our own questions, and we recognize that many of us have reached the point of exhaustion. And so I wonder how God might speak to us today through the story of the exhausted Israelites who are wandering in the desert. Let's pray. Loving God, you have blessed us with the promise that when we gather together, when we seek after you, you will come and be with us. That your Holy Spirit will blow into every space just as it blows into our hearts, and that in the presence of your Spirit, you will call us forward. You will open up new pathways that we could never have predicted before. And God, you have promised us that when we are tired, you will comfort us and you will hold us up. So this morning, we come to you bringing all that we have and all that we are, recognizing our shortcomings, and recognizing all that we have to share with the world around us. And so God, in this hour, be with us. Be present with us and open our minds, our hearts, our bodies, and our souls to the movement of your Spirit and to the ways that you are calling us outward to be your presence, to be your loving kindness in our world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praises to our King, great and by my car. I'll tell you in a few minutes why I'm out here by my car. But first, I want to tell you our Bible story today from the book of Exodus tells a story about Moses and how he was in a battle. And part of that battle is he was up on top of the mountain while these people are battling down at the bottom. And every time he had his arms up like this, his people were winning. And if he got tired and those arms kind of came down, then his people weren't winning anymore. He was getting really tired. So his two friends that were with him decided they would help. And they came and they put a stone underneath him so he had a place to sit down. And they held up his arms because he was just too tired to keep holding them up himself. So they held him up for him. He was just exhausted. And for as long as they were helping him and his arms were raised, his people won. And it worked. Moses' team won the battle, and it was good. So I started thinking about times when I've just been really tired and needed help. When I think about that, one of the stories I always think about reminds me of a car. Because I used to work about an hour and a half away from where I lived. And at that particular time, I had worked about 3 or 4 weeks straight, every single day, lots and lots of hours, and I was finally getting to go back home. And I started off driving and realized I was really, really tired. And eventually, I was so tired that I had to call my mom. And just say, Mom, I am just too tired to do this, but I am not home yet. And she said, well, just stop and get a hotel room. I'll help you pay for it. It'll be okay. So I stopped. I tried to get a hotel room, but none. There were none available anywhere. So I called my mom back. I'm like, what do I do now? I'm super, super, super tired. It's not safe. I just can't do it. So she picked a place that was super, super, super safe for me to pull over and wait for her. And I did. I pulled over, I waited for my mom, and it was late at night, y'all, because I had been working so, so late. And she and my dad drove about 45 minutes. And they drove, and they came and got me, and my mom drove me home in my car. And y'all, the next day, so that was the first people to help me, was my mom and my dad. Then the next morning, I was supposed to be in charge of a big party for a friend of mine who was having a baby. And I got to the party, I was super, super tired again, and I was trying to be nice and take care of all the people that were coming to the party, and I started pouring orange juice, and y'all, the orange juice went all over the counter because I was just too tired. So my other friends who were helping with the party said, we got it, we're gonna help, we want you to go sit down and just be nice to Miss Kim who's having the baby. And so I did, and it worked. So I had lots of people that helped me when I was super, super tired. My mom helped me, my dad helped me, the people where I stopped at that safe spot, they helped me. All my friends at this baby shower, they helped me. And I want you to think about a time, sometimes when we get really tired, it's not just that we're tired and we're sleepy and we need to go take a nap. Sometimes just our feelings are tired. Sometimes we just need a break. We just need a reason to smile. We just need something to make us laugh. So I want you to think about who are some people that kind of help you. Whether your body is tired or your brain is tired or your feelings are tired, who are some of those people that help you? Is it mom or dad? Is it a brother or a sister or grandparents? Is it a neighbor? Is it a friend? Whoever that is, or if you can think about a time where you were just having a really, really bad time and somebody helped you, can you think about telling them thank you? You might be able to tell them thank you in person. You might be able to call them or do a video call, or maybe send them a note in the mail. But think about who you can say thank you to, who maybe helped you. Can we say a prayer and say thank you for all the people that have helped us when we've been tired, no matter which way we were tired? Let's do that. God, We thank you for the many people in our lives who help us when we are just too exhausted to keep going. Sometimes our bodies are tired and we need people to help us do the things that we need to do. Sometimes our brains are tired and we need somebody to help us think more clearly. Sometimes our feelings are tired and we just need somebody to help us laugh and smile again. Thank you for people that can help us do all those things. Help us to remember them and remember to say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I wanna live like that. Change a heart. Do I live like your love is true? People pass, and even if they don't know my name, is there evidence that I've been changed? When they see me, do they see you?
Almighty and everlasting God, you have been our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. a comfort, a rock, a shepherd. We come before you this day bringing the prayers of our hearts, the prayers that are written throughout our days and hours, that are written upon our lives. We come sharing who we are, who we want to be, who we are called to be, our true selves. At times this week, we have been surrounded by a blistering chorus of extremes, competing voices raised to advocate, demand, cajole, and influence. In the midst of the noise that surrounds us, tune our hearts to hear that still small voice deep down in our spirit that speaks comfort and love, that calls us by name. At times this week, our expectations have been shattered. Being with friends feels awkward and contrived. Family traditions have been pushed aside. The break rooms in our offices are barren. The scheduling of a simple haircut seems impossible. Release us from the expectations of the past and invite us into new ways of being and seeing in this moment that are brave and new and beyond our wildest hopes, guided by your Spirit. At times this week, we have struggled to find joy. Loosen our grip on what we think should make us happy and ground our spirits with your peace that passes all understanding. At times this week, we have been overwhelmed. So, Holy God, surround us with saints, friends, family, strangers, who can offer strength, encouragement, and presence, even as your gracious Spirit hovers ever near. And as you call us, equip us to be a support and a help, even to our neighbor. We offer to you our full, messy, flawed, but oh so true selves for your joy, O God. For your joy, for our hope, and by love through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Exodus 17:8-16. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men for us to go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a reminder in a book, and recite it in the hearing of Joshua. I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "A hand upon the banner of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."
I don't know about you, but for me, this week has been harder than most. The reality of this pandemic has fully begun to set in, or at least I think it has, for now. The long road to recovery seems to stretch on into eternity, and conversations about the realities of reopening physical campuses and popular gathering places seem only to present more problems than solutions. And the once seemingly realistic idea that we at Greystone might soon process into our sanctuary with a Christ candle leading the way and the whole congregation joyfully following behind, well, now that idea seems more like a dream than an actual possibility, at least for right now. And this grief-filled realization is just one of so many lost hopes about what this year, this particular springtime, this summer, might entail. A final school year for retiring teachers and graduating seniors, years of academic preparation and rigor leading up to a moment long waited for, is now gone, or it's been reduced to an online or drive-by version of a socially distanced celebration. Vacations planned and paid for are canceled. Savings accounts become depleted as jobs are lost and income is reduced. Unemployment promises are delayed by long wait times and disconnected processes. The whole world seems to be groaning with exhaustion as problems compound and solutions seem further away than ever. Joan Chittister writes in her book on struggle and hope, "It's not so much the struggle that weaves itself in and out of every life that unnerves us. Defeat, we understand, but as it may deflate us momentarily. Rather, it is the bone-sore, deep-down, heart-wearying, never-ending weight of struggles, the effects of which never go away. That is what wears us down and turns our spirits into dust." She continues, "It's not the struggle itself that lays us low. It's the day in and day out tenacious clinging to the amorphous anger, the depression, the unacceptability of it all. That's what stands to defeat us in the end." Well, that about sums it up for many of us as we begin week 10 of social distancing and staying at home. All the positive aspects of working from home have flipped the script on our once over programmed lives. Now our calendars are wiped clean, well, except for about 1 million Zoom meetings. In our hearts, they're left yearning for community. These last 10 weeks are probably the closest thing to wilderness that our church has ever experienced together. So the reading for today speaks to us pretty directly. Today, we find the whole congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness as they're traveling from Egypt toward the Promised Land. They've been on the road, so to speak, for quite a while now, and they're beginning to grow weary. They've lost the adrenaline of the Exodus when the sea opened up and they walked across on dry land. They've lost confidence in their leader and their God, quarreling with one another. Just a verse before today's reading, they ask the question, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is God with us in the wilderness?" And just as water begins to flow from the rock in that preceding section of text, which is the sign that God is indeed still with them in the wilderness, just as that water flows from the rock, they're attacked by the Amalekites, and they find themselves in a long, unexpected struggle for their lives. Moses tells Joshua to find some men to fight alongside him. And Moses, who was nearly 80 years old at this point, he chose some of his own men, Aaron and Hur, to accompany him to the top of the hill, where he would stand and watch the battle. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed in battle. But whenever he grew tired and lowered his hands, Amalek would gain power. As the day grew long and the battle continued, Moses became exhausted. So Aaron and Hur, his friends, they placed a stone underneath him where he could rest, where he could sit down when he was tired. And they stayed close by so that they could hold up his hands when he could no longer do it alone. It's really a fantastic story, truly. One that, like so many others from the Old Testament, we read and we remember, but this time, this day, this week, when we read this story, it feels like a story out of our very own lives, doesn't it? I wonder how many of us feel a little bit like 80-year-old Moses, standing on top of the hillside with all the responsibility in the world and with muscles drawing near to the point of exhaustion. Maybe those muscles have been pushed to the limit, juggling the weight of homeschooling for our children while managing the work of full-time jobs, all from the same home offices. Maybe those arms have grown weary of the house. Maybe the house that's not so chaotic, but rather painfully still and quiet. Maybe we've grown weary of isolation, and we're longing for the company of friends and family. Maybe our bodies and our hearts are exhausted from the stress and the worry of being in an unknown reality. We're not used to living day by day, are we? It feels a little bit like we're running a marathon that we didn't know we needed to train for. We thought at Greystone that our 2020 marathon might be our kindness campaign. Do you remember that? Earlier this year, we kicked off our Year of Kindness, a 12-month plan for growing kindness deep within the heart of ourselves, our church, and our community. Together, we dreamt up plans for missions and fellowship and faith formation opportunities that would stretch us and strengthen those kindness muscles. We wanted to build our stamina for showing kindness in a year that we knew would be a little bit difficult. On our kickoff Sunday, we held wooden hearts in our hands, and we blessed them as holy reminders that we were called to be the people of God, that we were called to show God's loving kindness in our world. And in the weeks that followed, we turned these hearts into our offering plates. We placed them in as the plates passed. Each act of kindness represented by a small wooden heart, an offering to God. We hosted kindness tables on Super Tuesday, offering baked goods and Sola coffee to welcome neighbors to our campus as they came to vote. We read blogs that called us to consider how we might be kinder to ourselves, kinder to our families, kinder online in all of our digital spaces. We were just beginning to gain momentum. We could feel God at work in our lives, teaching us how to be more kind to one another. As time passed and we began to look ahead to new areas of focus, our creativity around the kindness campaign, it kept growing. The ideas, they just kept coming. What if we got t-shirts to wear at all of our community events? What if we ran the Sola 5K to support our neighbors across the street? What if we wrote, "You Matter" on the kindness hearts and just gave them away freely in our community? What if? What if? What if? And then, just as we seemed to be getting our footing, coronavirus happened. Our attention suddenly shifted and we started running a totally different kind of marathon, one that starts from our homes and not our sanctuaries, one that requires social distancing rather than large community gatherings. This is not what we'd been training for. I wonder if Moses felt that way on top of the mountain, as he struggled to hold up his weary hands. Chittister writes in her book, "Everyone is defeated sometime. Many then quit the fray. But the really strong, the really committed, they don't. They decide instead whether or not the mountain is worth the climb, and if it is, no amount of wind can force them from the face of it. They endure for the sake of enduring. They live to finish what they began." A few months ago, we set out together to run a spiritual marathon. because we believed that our world was in desperate need of a good dose of God's loving kindness. We knew it would be difficult. We knew we would grow weary, but like Moses, who couldn't have imagined the attack, we couldn't have predicted this pandemic and all of the changes that it's brought to our lives. But in the midst of it all, we have decided to stay the course, to face the wind and to climb the mountain. And whether or not we knew it, we're using some of those same muscles that we had begun to train in our kindness campaign. Hallway hugs have turned into porch drop-offs of sweetbreads and cookies and sourdough starters. Coffee and lunch dates have been replaced with Zoom calls and cards in the mail. Weekly gatherings on our church campus, those have shifted into deacon phone calls every other week, or online worship or digital Sunday schools. This is not the way we thought the marathon would play out. But kindness is alive and growing deep within the heart of Greystone. In these and so many other simple acts of kindness, we are discovering together that we can endure this challenge. This mountain is worthy of being climbed, and we will climb it together. Chittister writes, "There is a capacity for endurance in the human heart. It persists even when every obvious avenue is closed. It beats with life, even in the midst of death. It endures, not because there is no struggle to obstruct it, but because it is precisely the struggle itself that sharpens its focus and makes clear its real meaning." Perhaps in this unanticipated struggle, in this unpredictable marathon, perhaps we are discovering our real meaning. Perhaps even as our arms grow weary from all that we're holding up and holding together, perhaps even in this, we are learning that we are not alone. Rather, that we're truly all in this together. So may God take our hearts and fill them with kindness. Kindness that will not stop when the challenges arise, but kindness that persists and shows up to support the arms of our sisters and brothers as they grow weary. May God bless us with kindness, kindness that refuses to be diminished by the stress of an unknown future, and a kindness that reflects the very heart of God to a world full of people nearing the point of exhaustion. May it be so. Amen.
All the ways that you continue to support Greystone with your financial contributions. By continuing to give online, by mail, and dropping your contributions off at the church, you are helping Greystone continue our discipleship opportunities for all ages. Our adults continue to meet for Sunday school through digital platforms, with 7 different classes meeting every week. In addition, our pastor hosts a weekly Bible study and has enjoyed hosting periodic bread-making classes. Each week, we send emails containing devotions, spiritual reflections, and opportunities to worship, read, connect, and serve with your Greystone family from your own home. For those who can't connect with us digitally, we are mailing weekly packets with a copy of the sermon and devotions. During Holy Week, we created in-home worship services and used social media to follow the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. Our youth and children continue to meet online weekly to pray, study, and fellowship together. Miss Lou sends our preschoolers weekly Bible story videos, and our kindergarten through second grade class have enjoyed Sunday school via Zoom. Children and youth alike have enjoyed scavenger hunts, games, and other creative ways to connect through digital platforms. Our children wrote notes to some of our super seniors, and our youth led worship for us just a few weeks ago from their individual homes. From children to youth to senior adults, we are looking forward to seeing what opportunities can be claimed in this health crisis and thinking about new ways to engage not only the members of Greystone, but folks who are finding us for the first time. If you are newly connected with us or want to be better connected through any of these opportunities, we would love to have you. Please email us at office@greystonechurch.org and we will connect you with a minister. And thank you for all the ways that you are continuing to support Greystone and helping these opportunities continue.
Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. We hope that this online worship opportunity helped to renew your spirit. In this time of physical distancing, it is important that we try to remain connected to one another. If something in today's service spoke to you, we want to know. Leave a comment on your YouTube channel letting us know what is stirring your soul. Share the service on your social media pages and tag the church. It might be that the same things that resonate within you might speak to others who are looking for a spiritual home. Join the fun and help us spread the good news online. Now I'd like to share some updates from Greystone and mention some opportunities for us to remain connected this week. There will be a leadership council meeting today at 4 o'clock. You can find the link to the meeting in an email sent out to the congregation last Wednesday, May 13th. If you have any trouble finding the information to access the meeting, please contact Pastor Chrissy before 4 o'clock today. Thank you.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace to never sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.